Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
What are you thankful for? Is it? Everybody's afraid to say now. Your family, okay, that you can get away with that one, but my car, not living in a third world country, I don't know, maybe we should do something about the third world country before we start saying we're thankful we don't live there. I don't know. Thanksgiving is an awesome holiday. My sister will tell you that it's her favorite holiday, and that she never really liked Christmas. But I remember when we were kids, we used to decorate. She says she never did. But Thanksgiving is a great holiday. Did you know that Thanksgiving is still the only holiday where most of this country actually gets together as a family? The others aren't so family-oriented anymore. Thanksgiving brings us together. We travel a long ways to visit family on Thanksgiving. Travel across the country, through snow, sleet, rain, and hail, nothing shall stop you from your appointed dinner. Turkey, stuffing, dressing, whatever you want to call it, gluten, tofurkey, whatever it is you eat for Thanksgiving, mashed potatoes, corn, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, apple pie, God forbid, rhubarb pie, or mincemeat pie, whatever it is something to truly be thankful for. But how often do we get caught up in stuff that really isn't so important? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, I'd ask that your words would be heard loud and clear. Lord, fill this place with your presence. Fill it so full that there's no room for anything but you and us. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 18. I like the book of Luke. It's a great book. As long as you're not trying to read it in Greek, it's pretty thick in Greek, because Luke was a physician, so his Greek is a lot more advanced than a lot of the rest of the New Testament, but we're not talking about Greek today. That was just my little rant. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Sound familiar? Thank you that I don't live in a third world country. Other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, this is a question to make you think. How many of us have prayed a prayer like that Pharisee? Thank you, God, that I can be here and not be like those other people, like those people that Miss Sarah talked about in her story. Thank you that I am good. How many of us have ever prayed a prayer like that? I think we'd be liars if we said we hadn't? The other day, I was driving down, it was in downtown, almost forgotten. I was on South Temple, I think it is, and I was just right there where it tees, I don't know what the street is, I think it's like 500 West or something, right there by the Gateway Shopping Center. And I as I'm coming up to it, I'm thinking, I really don't like driving here, it's way too close to the tracks, and it makes me nervous, but I saw a lady in this really nice Mercedes-Benz. And as I got closer, I realized that not only was it a really nice Mercedes-Benz, but it was also brand spanking new. If you looked at the date, she'd just gotten it yesterday, the day before. I was like, wow, that is a nice car. She's sitting there with her flashers on. I'm like, oh, remind me not to buy a German car. I was like, what's wrong with that? And so I pull up and I stick my head out and I was like, are you all right? And she gets out of her car. She's like, I ran out of gas. And I was like, who runs a Mercedes out of gas? I guess she spent so much on the car, she couldn't afford the gas or something. But I said, all right, when the light turns green, I'll go park and come back and help you push it out of the street. And she said, okay. Meanwhile, there's several guys and girls, but guys especially, come on, on the sidewalk getting ready to cross the street over towards the shopping center. And I was like, what are they doing? So I drive over and I park and I'm like, okay, I have no change. I'm in a meter. Please, dear Lord, don't let me get a ticket while I'm trying to help somebody. So I ran back and the light turns green and still there's nobody helping. And so I start pushing the car and I push it clear around and past my car, which is like a block away, and it rolls really easily. Those Mercedes, they got nice. They roll great. But pushed it clear down and pushed her into a parking space. And I was like, do you have a gas can? Probably not. And no, she didn't. I said, well, I don't have one either, but you want me to go get you some gas or something? You want me to... it's a good thing she didn't say yes, because it turns out I didn't have any money. I didn't even have a debit card. So I said, do you need a ride somewhere? And she probably like, no, I don't want some creepy guy giving me a ride. She says, I'll just go take care of it. I'll just walk. And wow, I don't even know where a gas station is near here. But she just walked. And it blew me away that those 15 other people, I mean, literally, at least that many other people getting ready to cross the street didn't help her. It just shocked me. I thought that, you know, people were a little bit more courteous than that, especially in Salt Lake City. But no. She was very thankful. It was actually kind of fun. I got to the gateway. I parked in that little parking lot to the north of it. And then I went and took my computer into the Apple store because the hard drive had burned out. And anyway, and I get back to my car, and that's when I realized I didn't have a dime on me. I didn't even have my debit card. And I was like, how on earth am I going to get out of this parking lot? So I call my wife. I'm like, I know I'm supposed to pick you up, but I'm in this parking lot. There's this crossing gate. I'm not about to drive through it. And there's no attendant in the booth. So, you know, I can't say, pretty please, I'll, you know, shovel snow or something for you. So I had no idea how in the world I was going to get out of the parking lot. And so I get in the car, and I go, and the gate goes whoop, and I just left. Turns out, as I'm leaving, it says free parking for the first hour. I had no clue. I was like, praise the Lord. What are you thankful for? She was thankful that I helped her. I was thankful that I didn't get a parking ticket and that I was actually able to leave that little parking lot. But what are you thankful for? Is it important? Is it cheesy? Does it make you look like that Pharisee? I'm thankful that I live up here on the hill and not down there. You know, up on Snob Hill. That's what I used to always call it. What are you thankful for? Still in the book of Luke, still in chapter 18, But this time, verses 18 to 29. This is a familiar story to a lot of us. The story of the rich young ruler. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. All these things I have done since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." And Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." Are we so grateful? Are we so thankful for our stuff? For the things that keep us happy, the things that keep us warm, the things that enable us to purchase a brand new Mercedes? Or a brand new car, for that matter. Even a used car. Are we so thankful for that? That we forget that there are things that are 10 times more important. There are people out there who are suffering every single day. There are people who can't even buy a box of crayons. I was listening to Caleb last week, I think, and they were talking about the Christmas boxes. You know, you put together a little shoebox and you put stuff in them, and crayons and a little stuffed animal, paper, a bunch of other stuff, toothbrush, toothpaste, for kids in a third world country. And I heard about this one place in Africa where just a little tiny box of crayons is over $5, which to us, $5, that's expensive for a little box of crayons, but $5 is really nothing. But to them, it's way, way too much. It's beyond what they could even think about buying. The simple stuff. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for whatever it is that gives us life? God? Do we thank God every single morning and say, "Praise the Lord, you gave me another day. Praise the Lord, I have another day where I might be able to give of myself." Do we say, "God, thank you so much. Thank you so much I'm not like those other people." Or do we say, "God, thank you so much that I can help those other people." How giving are we? You know, this time of year, giving goes up. Everybody becomes a little bit more generous during the holidays. I give more. You know, I see those Salvation Army bell ringers and I'll put some money in if I have it. My wife usually has most of it. But we're willing to give this time of year. Maybe it's because it's colder outside and we kind of feel sorry for those people who don't have what we have and they live under a bridge or something or in their car. So we, you know, donate some old ratty clothing. Maybe it's gently used. something we don't want anymore. It's last season's ski jacket. I got to get this season's ski jacket because I got to look awesome on the mountain. Why don't we buy them this season's ski jacket that hasn't, you know, had the snow hitting it for a whole year? And we can keep last season's. It still works. What are we doing here? Why are we here? You know, the Bible talks a lot about the poor, the widows, the orphans, and how we're supposed to take care of them. Sometimes we think that if we just give $5 here, $10 there, we've done our part. And sure, $5 here, $10 there goes a long ways in a lot of places. But how many of us are willing to step out of our comfort zone? One or two or three steps or more to do something for someone else? Are we so in the giving spirit this time of year that we would do anything for someone else? Or are we just the type of people that want to sit back and say, here's 20 bucks, you can do it because my hands, I just got them done, my nails. Or are we the type of people that say, greasy hands, dirty feet, mud in our face, I don't care. I'm still going to give the 20 bucks. But I'm going to actually do something. I'm going to actually give of something of myself. Something that hurts. Something that is more than just a little bit. The book of Mark, chapter 12. Where am I at? 14. Mark 12, 41 through 44. And Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Are we willing to mortgage our house, sell the Subaru, and buy an old beater so we can get around town so that we can help people? Are we willing to sacrifice everything for those around us? Or are we like the rich young ruler who couldn't do it? We've done everything right. We know what it says in here to do. I mean, we've got Exodus 20. We could recite that thing, especially the fourth commandment. We've got that down. But are we willing to say, that's cool, that's good, and give ourselves? Are we willing to give thanks in a way that hurts? Are we willing to just completely give it all to God? You know, he gave everything for us. Everything. And we're getting into the season of Christmas. One of my favorite times of year. It's my favorite time of year because of Jesus. Yeah, I like getting the presents. That's kind of cool. I'm especially excited this year. First time having kids. I'm just like, woo! But it's about giving. Jesus gave. He gave everything he had. And every time I see a Christmas tree, I can't help but think that Christmas is about the tree. But not that green one where we put glittery lights and stuff. It's about the tree where Jesus died for us. He gave everything. He didn't give out of his wealth. And gotta admit, he's pretty wealthy. He gave himself. And the Bible calls us each to be like Christ. And we can't be like Christ unless we are willing to give of ourselves. We have to give up our selfish ways. Jesus came and he died. Is that what we're thankful for? Jesus, who gave us a love that we could never, ever know otherwise. A love that we can't even begin to understand. You know, talking about giving always makes me think I'm preaching about doing stuff. I am. And sometimes I think I'm telling everybody to get out and do a bunch of stuff because it's going to make you a better person. It'll make you look good. It'll give you something more to be thankful for, better than those other people. But that's about it. All of this giving of ourselves doesn't really amount to much. Unless we are truly thankful for what Jesus did. And I know it's maybe a little bit early to be reading this, but I like it, and so we're going to do it. Luke 2. If everybody wants to turn there, if you have your Bible with you. We all know what Luke 2 is. And if you'll pardon me, I'm just going to start with verse 1 and read through verse 20. And while I'm reading, I want you to think. Think about what Jesus did for you. Think about what these verses say. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We know what happens a little while later. Herod finds out, freaks out, and sets about killing every single baby boy, 2 and under. What are we going to be? Are we going to be a Herod where we're like, that's not good? I doubt it. Or are we going to be like the angels who are like, glory to God, they just exploded with, wah! They were so excited. Sorry about the wah. But they were just so excited about Jesus, about the Savior who had come to this earth, born in a barn, put in a feeding trough. They were excited. Or are we going to be like the shepherds who, once they heard the news, they decided to go, let's go check it out. And then they saw it. And then they said, let's tell everybody we know. Let's tell our wives. Let's tell our kids. Let's tell the sheep. Let's tell everybody and everything we know what we have seen and heard. We've heard it before. We haven't actually seen it because it happened a long time ago. And we just heard it again. Just heard it again about what was done. And that is just the beginning. Being born was just the beginning. Coming from heaven to this mud hole was just the beginning. It gets better from there. He lived, he loved, he died, and he rose again. Are we thankful for that? Are we so thankful for that that we can't keep it to ourselves? We just want to say glory. We just want to share it with everybody, even if it's just, you know, Jesus loves you. Maybe it's, hey, come to church. Maybe it's giving completely of yourself. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we enter this season of Christmas and giving, and we are leaving a season of Thanksgiving, Lord, we ask that you would help us to be thankful for what truly matters. Help us not to just get stuck being thankful for the little things, but let us be thankful for your Son, Jesus. So thankful that we just have to tell others about you. We just can't keep it in our hearts any longer. Give us the joy. Help us to truly understand that love, the love of your Son, Jesus. In his name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org, or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.